1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Seems as though the pattern of the New Testament church in at this time was that men came to the congregation prepared with something that they'd been studying through the week, thinking about something that was on their mind, something that was on their heart, and something that they'd read, something that was interesting to them, and they brought it, and the brethren then shared those things because it was exciting to them, it was edifying to them, and they enjoyed doing it. I'm sure that at some point in our lives, brethren, if you are participating in giving a lesson or teaching a class, you have done this. You've read something, oh, that's neat. Or maybe there's something on your heart and on your mind that has been pressing you to study and to try to find out what God truly wants you to do in your life. Well, the following lesson is something that was on my heart at the time in 2005, 2006 time period. And this is when Shawnee and I were contemplating adoption. And it was something that we felt it was very personal to us. But yet we wanted to find out what God talked about, what His thoughts on adoption was, and how He would perceive adoption in our life. So I put a lesson together, and the purpose of it was to edify the brethren at that time in Kirksville and to encourage ourselves then to understand better what God expected of us in that. So these thoughts then come from that time period, but I think they're very relevant for today because we are adopted into God's family. And so those things can then apply to us. So Genesis 48, chapter 1 through 6. We're going to look at a couple examples in the Bible of a truly physical adoptions that took place. And Joseph's sons are the first two that we're going to look at. Genesis 48, verses 1 through 6. It says that it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land of your descendants, land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. Now, your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon. They shall be mine. Your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. Kind of interesting. Ephraim and Manasseh then have been chosen by Jacob to become his as sons so that they could receive the blessing and the inheritance from Jacob and not from Joseph. So over in verse 14, you see that Israel stretched out his right hand, laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So we see the blessing taking place by Jacob to his two sons now, Ephraim and Manasseh. And if you go through and you look at the tribes of Israel, is Joseph mentioned? No, but who is mentioned? Ephraim and Manasseh. So you see kind of an adoption that took place here, a calling into Jacob. Yeah, they were his grandsons, but they became as sons to Jacob at this time period, and the blessing then was passed on to them because of this. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2, looking at verses 5 through 10. Probably the most well-known instance of adoption in the Bible, and this is Moses. Exodus 2, 5 through 10 says, then the younger daughter of Pharaoh, or the daughter of Pharaoh, came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." He was nursed by his own mother, but yet whenever he came of age, he went back to Pharaoh's daughter and became her son, raised by her family, raised to know the things and the language and all of the details of the Egyptians. An adoption had taken place. He received her name also. She's the one that named him Moses because he was drawn out of the water. So we see a couple examples of adoption. One more in Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2 and verse 7. Esther 2:7 says, "And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah," that is Esther, "his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful, and when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter." As his own daughter. So this was also something that was kind of a well-known thing within the Jews, the Israelite nation, the Hebrews. If somebody's family passed on, they took the child to them, or the widow, or, you know, there was a necessity for being part of a family, and you took care of one another. But these are kind of specific instances where adoptions took place of young children. And so this was some thoughts then that came from these examples, and we get to be encouraged then by God's word for us. Galatians 4, verses 4-7, as we think about spiritually then, we see a physical side of adoption, but there's definitely a spiritual side of adoption. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So we became a Christian. When we became a Christian, an adoption takes place. It is an adoption to become a son of God, just like Jesus. Just like God's only son, we become as him through that watery grave of baptism and through submitting to God. So we are placed as a son of God. Three things I want us to recognize and realize in becoming adopted. One is that there has to be an acceptance into the family. Two, there has to be a recognition of the responsibility of the family, including the person who is being adopted. There's a responsibility there as a family member. And third, there's blessings that come with adoption. So we have to be accepted into the family. We need to recognize ourselves that we need a family. We need to be accepted by a family. And it makes it so much more personal to you if you have that need for that, that desire to become a family member. Now let's look at Ephesians 2. In verses 1 through 3. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Do you see a need here for a family, a need for something different? "In all of our sin, I'm so full of it. I'm walking in the ways of this world, but I desire to have something different. I desire to have a different family. If there's a whole bunch of sin in my life, which we all have, there's this desire and recognition of something different that I want, something different that I need. And Ephesians brings that out. You once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power. Sons of disobedience. Rather, we'd rather be sons of God and not of disobedience. Colossians, the third chapter. Let's slip over there and look at verses 5 through 9. So we have this recognition of an old family. But Colossians 3 talks about putting off of that old family, getting rid of the old and taking on the new. Verses 5 through 9. Therefore put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So there must be a severance from the old family, from the old man, in order to become a different part of a part of a different family. There's got to be a separation there. And we see that spiritually speaking. We were old, sinful, and dirty. Through Christ, then, we become clean, fresh, and new, and part of a new family. And what a blessing it truly is. So there must be an acceptance into the family. The only way to be accepted into God's family is through Christ Himself. So there's this process that takes place. Just as in a physical adoption, there's this process that takes place in order to become part of the new family. God expects that to follow, be followed through also. Secondly, we have to be accepted in the family of one. Two, the father must extend membership to the new family. There must be this opening of the arms, this extending of membership to this family member. John, the first chapter in verse 12, it says here that there is this right to become a child of God. That's in John 1 and 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. If you, as a physical, spiritual man on this earth, have decided that you will believe in Jesus Christ, you now have the right to become part of God's family. But you have to accept Jesus as that Son of God. He gave them the right to become children of God. We become a member of this new family through, then, confession, through baptism, through complete submission to God. And so then He will then welcome you into His family. In Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29, I'd like for us to read that. And there's some key words here as we think about God welcoming or giving the right of membership into this family. Galatians 3. Verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There's where we get into the family. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The key words here, one in Christ, heirs according to the promise, and sons of God. To be part of that family, it's one in Christ, it is sons of God and heirs according to the promise. The blessing of being part of the family then takes place. And we are brothers and sisters then because of Jesus Christ. I'm persuaded that none of us here would probably have anything to do with one another. Well, except for half of you are probably related blood. I'm going to have to back up on that one. But if you think about it, how many of us would have relationships with one another if it wasn't for our Savior? Probably not very many of us. We all have different paths in life. We all have different desires. We all have different needs. But because of Jesus Christ, we can come together into that family as one and love one another and take care of one another. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how short you are, how bad you smell. You are still part of that family. And we love one another because of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? What better love can be shown on earth than this family of God right here? So we see that there is an acceptance into that family only through Jesus. Secondly, now we're going to see that there is responsibilities as the family member. There's responsibilities. All of us have different responsibilities. The first thing, though, is that there is a responsibility of obedience to the Father. If you are adopted into a family, or if you have child into your family, there is a necessity of obedience to dad, right? And mom. Well, and spiritually speaking, there's a responsibility of us as family members to obey our God in heaven. John the 8th chapter, verse 29. Jesus speaking here. Remember, he is the Son of God. He says, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." Obedience. Obedience to the Father in heaven. The Son of God said it. I always do the things that please him. And he's who in our family? Our big brother, setting the example for all of us on how we should live for the Father. Always obeying him in all things. Responsibilities as a family member. The second part of those responsibilities is to uphold the family name. The Hatfields and the McCoys, they fought all the time, did they not? But if you stepped on the Hatfields' toe, all the Hatfields came together, didn't they? They upheld the family name. The Ingalls, the Kleins, whoever it might be. Uphold the family name. That's who we are, right? Who are we in Christ? We are called Christians. And what's that mean? It means of Christ. That's our name. So we should uphold that name continually throughout our daily lives. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, as Christians on this earth, then we should be recognized as Christian, as a Christian, first. Our old name, Alan Klein, should be our secondary name. And the way that people recognize me should be, number one, because I'm a Christian. I'm upholding that name continually. They know me because of who I am, not of who I am. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So uphold that family name. That's the responsibility of us in that family. Are you acting like a Christian in word or deed? Or are you just holding the sign that says, I have the name Christian? Thirdly, then, the blessings that come with being part of the family. There are many blessings in a physical family. You get the shelter, you get the food, you get the love, and maybe get the inheritance if there's any left, right? There's all kinds of blessings that can come with being a part of a family. What about the family of God? We call upon him as our Father in Romans 8 and verse 15. Let's look at that one. Romans 8, 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So we have this ability to cry to the Father, to speak to him. That's a blessing. You know, my sons and my daughters have the ability to cry to dad whenever they're hurt, whenever they're in trouble, whenever they need something. So it's no different for us as Christians. We have the opportunity to cry to God when we have a need. That's a blessing of the family. And more than likely, whenever my children cry to me, what do? I help them. I serve them. I give to them as they need, as I see fit. God's the same way. We cry to Him as He sees fit. He will then bless us in return. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to our prayers." He listens to us, just like Dad listens in the middle of the night when that baby's crying. Dad's always the first one up, isn't he? He's always the one that hears the baby whimper and grunt a little bit, right? Mom's the one going, "Did you hear that?" The point is, though, whenever that baby cries, Dad listens, Mom listens, we hear, and we want to listen to those children. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. When we pray to God, He hears us, and He listens to us. The greatest blessing a father can give to his son, though, is correction. It's correction. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 6 through 7, talks about correction, how it's painful, how it's not fun. It's not. And God corrects us as His family today, too. We start reading the Word, and there's things in there that we recognize that we've been doing. There's things in there that we see that we need to do differently. There's this correction that takes place, and it hurts, doesn't it? But when we get through that correction, if we have been obedient to God, just like we have been obedient to Dad, then it's a lot better. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? That's a blessing from God, is to be able to be corrected and chastened and trained. Thirdly, then, in the blessings of the family membership is the inheritance of the family possessions. I don't know what my children will get, but I know what I'm going to get from my mom and dad. Probably bills. There will be some blessing there, though. There's probably artifacts and antiques that have been saved over years that will be passed on to kind of family heirlooms. There are some possessions that will be loved and cherished. I remember when my grandparents passed away, there was my, and this is kind of silly, but I remember standing in the bathroom watching my grandpa shave. I wanted his razor when he passed away. And that's kind of a silly thing, but that's, I got it. And I kind of cherished that as a possession that came from my grandpa. But the inheritance of the family possessions are a blessing that comes from being a part of a physical family and a spiritual family. Because there are possessions, or there are blessings that come from being a member of the church. Ephesians 1, we're going to look at verses 11 and 14. Ephesians 1, 11 and 14. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. And then verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of glory. Speaking of the Spirit there. Through Christ we have this inheritance that was determined way before any of us were born. God set it in order on day whenever He made us. Day 6, right? Okay, there's going to be an inheritance. There's going to be a possession given to mankind, spiritually speaking. This inheritance is only guaranteed through the Spirit. The only way that that Spirit comes upon us as a seal is whenever we obey God and we submit to Him and we are baptized and raise that new man. That's when that Spirit comes upon us. That's when the seal is made, and that's when the guarantee is there that we will receive an inheritance if found faithful. Only those who have been adopted into or placed as sons can be accepted into the family, carry out the responsibilities of the family member, and receive the blessings of the family member. So adoption is pretty prevalent within our lives. We see it in the church all the time. God adopts us as sons, just as Jesus Christ. And mankind likewise does that. In physical sense, too. So then I had some thoughts about adoption at that time, and I'll pass them on to you. Some facts about it. 1.5 million children in this world are adopted just in the U.S. Just in the U.S., 1.5 million adopted children here. That's 2% of all the children in this nation. 60% of Americans have personal connection to adoption in some way. They either know someone who was adopted, they have adopted themselves, or maybe they have even given up a child for adoption. Just by show of hands, how many of us in here, besides from the Klein family, have a personal connection with adoption? I don't know if it's 60%, but it's probably close to 25% in this congregation. You'd be surprised how many people have some sort of connection with adoption. 4 in 10, or 81.5 million Americans, have considered adopting a child at some point in their lives. And there are currently, and this was in 2005, 131,000 children waiting in the U.S. to be adopted. There's a lot of children out there that need a good home, need a family that they can be a part of, that they can have the blessings and have all of the challenges that come with that blessing. Then there's a poem I'd like to read. It's called The Legacy of an Adopted Child. Once there were two women who never knew each other. One you do not remember, the other you call mother. I can't do it. Two different lives shaped to make yours one. One became your guiding star, the other became your son. The first gave you life, and the second taught you to live it. The first gave you a need for love. The second was there to give it. One gave you a nationality, the other gave you a name. One gave you the seed of a talent. The other gave you an aim. One gave you emotions, the other calmed your fears. One saw your first sweet smile, and the other dried your tears. One gave you up. It was all that she could do. The other prayed for a child, and God led her straight to you. And now you ask me through your tears the age-old questions through the years. Heredity or environment? Which are you the product of? Neither, my darling, neither. Just two different kinds of love. So it's been a blessing, and at that time we were seeking the support of the congregation, and we did get that 100%, and we have been blessed, that's truly sure. But remember, the greatest gift is to be able to be adopted into God's family. And once there, we have to recognize the importance of obedience and recognize that there are duties and recognize that there are blessings that come with it. So if you are not a part of that family, we would just truly be thrilled this morning to have you submit yourself to God and obey Him through baptism and become part of His spiritual family and this family, that we can grow together and we can love together for the remaining time on this earth. So if you have that need this morning, why don't you come forward as we sing the song of invitation.